Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Starfield Raw. This is episode number 36, and I am Joe the Widget. And I am joined by my fellow co-host, the man himself, the Crimson Fleet Destroyer, Mr. Rook.
Yeah. He's foreshadowing my gameplay.
I have to.
What's up, everybody? I'm finally get to talk about the Crimson Fleet.
And I'm excited to hear what you think of it all now.
Yeah. We'll get to that after we introduce our guest host, because sadly, Archon wasn't able to make it.
Archon's job likes to overwork him the days we record lately.
I know, right?
Which we need to have a chat with his employer. Like, dude, we need him at this time. We need him healthy and good. So
yes,
unfortunately,
he
apologizes to everybody, but he again cannot make it on the air. He has to be at work super early in the morning, and then he just couldn't do it tonight. But we did bring on someone that, if you're in Discord, you definitely know who he is. He's very vocal on our Discord, which we really appreciate. Scott, also known as Illnist.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Yeah, that was a fantastic and exciting intro.
Well, I was going to come up with a story about seeing Archon actually at another podcast cheating on you guys, but I didn't want to tell the truth tonight.
Oh, that's a dig. I like it. There is something I want to bring up before we get into our plays tonight, and that's the fact of Bethesda's update schedule. So at the end of last year, when they did their whole announcement of their game plan for this game, they said, okay, we're going to release a patch. We're going to have a patch schedule roughly, I'm going to keep that there, roughly, every 6 weeks. Now, they've been true to that schedule up until recently. And if they were going to be maintaining that schedule, because the last big patch we had was on May 17th. And as of recording, it is April 17th. So it should have been, they should have actually put out the beta on Steam this week, or at least gave word about it, which they have not done. And like usual, they're not saying anything.
Yeah, it's just crazy. They've been so tight-lipped about this entire thing. We were discussing off air that it could have been because Microsoft, but the more I think about it, the more I see Microsoft more talkative than Bethesda about this game.
It's very unusual. And I've said it before on the air. The other shows I did that were Bethesda, we did a show based on Bethesda game. They were very forthcoming with us. They were constantly working with us. Community team was amazing. It's been with Starfield, they have basically reached out to no media.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And I'm assuming there's been absolutely zero leaks about what this update could potentially contain.
Zero. Nothing.
Mm-mm.
Even the data miners haven't done anything with it. We have no clue.
Yeah, it's unusual.
Hopefully, though, it'd be very amusing that since we record on Wednesday, that they announce it on Thursday, the day after we record, have to rush back in and re-record this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, I could,
but
anyway.
Let's be honest. Their most recent post on X, aka Twitter, is the recreation of the Serenity post that they put up there. That was the last post by them.
Hopefully this is tidings of good things to come. Hopefully.
Hoping. It's the only way it can make sense.
Yeah. I don't see them dropping support on this game. Not after putting 10 years into it. So I'm really, really hoping, my fingers are crossed, that like some of the games I've done in the past where they completely revamp the game is happening. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this game's amazing. They don't need to revamp it. But there are things that they could do, like some quality of life stuff that they promised that would be amazing to have out. Like being able to travel on the planets without running 5 miles to your next temple.
Yeah.
Well, I think that car we posted is going to be what the next vehicle is, because you weren't able to sit in that vehicle the last time I ran across it, and now you can.
Oh, really? Okay, do say more, because I do remember that post in Discord.
Yeah, it's like this big multi-wheeled kind of tankish vehicle without any body. You can kind of just sit on top of it. And I've climbed on that thing 1,000 times when I find it randomly. And I always try to sit in it, so I would take pictures where I would kneel to try to make it look like it, but now it lets you sit in it. So, I mean, why would you be able to sit in it now before?
I completely spaced that when you posted that. Now it makes perfect sense. Okay. Yeah, we've talked about it on the air. Like, we've thought it could be a vehicle like that. I mean, I would also like to see, animal taming. That'd be cool, too.
I want to ride a rocket around the planet.
You would. Oh, they need to call it Red Rocket.
Or so you don't feel out of place, a little tiny pink one.
Apparently, in an article from Gaming Bolt, apparently this was posted, I guess it's overseas because it says the 18th of April. It says, Howard says Bethesda is doing a lot of Starfield work that we'll be hearing about in the not too distant future. But according to game director Todd Howard, however, Bethesda will soon be making announcements on that front, talking about all the new ways of traveling. And this was an interview with IGN on the 17th, or updated on 17th.
That's today.
So,
or 2 days ago, so they did, the show.
Yeah. Day of recording is when it was posted on IGN. Specifically, IGN caught up with Bethesda's Todd Howard, who also serves as an executive producer on the Prime Video series. That might be why they're a little quiet, because their executive producer, or their lead, and is an executive producer.
Yeah.
That would make sense.
Todd's an amazing guy. If you've ever talked to him in person, he is so much fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a busy, busy, busy guy.
Oh,
he's working on not just that executive producer, which basically what he's doing on that, he's being an advisor for them. So when they do like the script polishing, what they call it, the treatment of a script, they go to him and they verify everything they're putting in to make sure it matches up and lines up with the game that he's, you know, been a major part of over the last 20, 30 years.
Yeah. So here's what he had to say about the game stuff he's been talking about. They asked, Todd, I want to switch gears a little bit and ask more about the games. We obviously know that Fallout 5 is in the works, but you have said in the past that the plan is Elder Scrolls 6 and then Fallout 5. Is that still the plan, or is there any chance that we could change based on the interest from the show? Howard answered saying, I'm going to avoid putting dates on anything. I've learned that the hard way. So obviously our focus as far as new development right now is Elder Scrolls 6.
Which they did have some news about that recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more news about that than Starfield.
It's actually in a playable state right now. It's an early build, but it's a playable state currently.
I saw articles saying that doesn't bode well for Starfield.
I read that article. What their reasoning behind it was kind of dumb. I wouldn't put any heed to that. It's a whole different
thing. I usually don't. But that doesn't mean that we're not making plans for other things. We're still doing a lot of work, obviously, on Fallout 76, as we saw at WonderCon. And we see the community. So many people are going into that game and kind of rediscovering it and just so happy with where the game is at. It really does. And I mean, this has been one of the best communities in all of gaming. Surprisingly, it's a very, very nice apocalypse. And we're doing a lot of Starfield work as well. So we have some really good updates that are going to get announced soon for that game. So there's a lot going on over in Bethesda right now.
By episode 37, we'll have 38. We'll have some good news.
Episode 50 comes around. Oh, we still don't have news.
They better come up with something on Shatterspace. Yeah, exactly. And they mentioned it that last year, all they said was, it's coming out next year. Well, there's a 12-month period we can possibly look for it. Most likely at the end of that 12-month period.
Oh, yeah.
If they should at least give us something like, okay, this is what's going to be in Shatterspace, or this, you know, tease us a little bit about it. Don't leave everyone hanging. It's the worst thing you could do to your fan base is just leave them hanging.
I mean, I would have been okay if they were silent for like the beginning of the year, and then WonderCon, they do this really big demo. They didn't do any kind of big news at any of the big gaming points here recently.
No. Bethesda actually hasn't really been very active in any of the PAX, which traditionally they were some of the biggest contributors at PAX.
Yeah. But on the same note, things are kind of expensive right now.
Yeah, very. That's very, very true. I'm not even getting into that. I went grocery shopping today and had to take out a mortgage.
Yep, pretty much.
All right. So, like I mentioned, that there is the Elder Scrolls 6 that they did announce that, hey, it's in a working state. It's coming. I would expect to see that probably in about 3 years, to be perfectly honest.
Let's see. When did they start development?
9 years ago.
Okay, yeah. 3 years is doable. So, what do you think of the new Fallout show, though?
And I love it.
Has Illness seen it?
I mean, I've done the third episode, as far as I've gotten.
I've gotten to two, so you're one ahead of me.
I just finished seven.
Here's how good that show is. I have a coworker I work with. She's not a nerd that big into nerdy stuff. She's just now getting into reading fantasy novels and stuff like that over the past year or so.
I know a good book she can read.
She doesn't game. She knows nothing about the Elder Scrolls universe. and she loves, or Fallout Universe, and she loves Fallout. And she's where Illness is at three episodes.
You know, they did very, very good at maintaining the feel of that world, that universe that they created. And if you don't know anything about Fallout, it's basically an alternate universe that says, what if the bombs actually did drop during the Cold War, but set a little bit further in the future? So the world's kind of stuck in the 50s mentality with kind of advanced technology in a way. Very, very interesting take on it. And there's so much lore built over the years. And they've been doing pretty good with it. I mean, there is some kind of plot holes, like how these three characters constantly wind up together. It seems forced at times, but the way they did the world, and it's a little bit too gory for my taste, other than that, I think it's fantastic. It was way better than I was hoping.
Yeah, it's I'm loving it so far, especially Maximus. And the ghoul is actually my favorite character so far, though.
Oh, yeah. He's completely BA.
Yeah, mine too.
I forgot to think about that actor that plays him, but he's so good at what he does, and he plays that character just perfectly. And when they flash into the pre-scenes and all that, you guys will see that more later on. But
I have a friend of mine who cannot watch this show because every time she sees the ghoul, she thinks of him in Orange is the New Black and just starts laughing so she can't take the show seriously.
Oh, no. Now, well, the good news is for Bethesda, this show has spawned a huge resurgence into the Fallout games. Their numbers, like in Fallout 76, is at a peak that has never been seen before on the game.
Well, yeah, it's because A, the game is actually good, and B, the way they're holding true to lore, but there's something you need to catch. They actually chose one of two endings as canon for Fallout 4.
Fallout 76 is one of those where makes me think about one of the reasons why I think Bethesda might be rebuilding some of the game is that game wasn't really well received in the beginning, but they took it and they rebuilt it over a year, and now it's really really good.
They took feedback from the player base where they said it feels too dead for coming out, and there's supposed to be raiders and stuff, but all you had were robots. And it was like, all right, my issues when it first started was because of how dead it was. Players couldn't sit there and build communities at different outposts and them stay there. And they couldn't really become clans, tribes, or whatever you want to call them. So it felt like they missed the target there, but they have rebounded fairly well.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're kind of what I think is they're doing with Starfield. I personally don't think they need to do too much, but I think they've been taking a lot of what people have been saying about the game seriously and have been reworking some of it.
All of a sudden, we get a 100-gigabyte patch.
I'm game. Let's do it.
100-gigabyte patch they revamped into Unreal Engine 5.
All right, well, speaking of that, how about we get into our weekend game?
Sure. You first.
Me first? Well, that's new. All right, sure. Why not? So, last week on Starfield Raw, I finally finished that stupid New Game Plus. Went into the new one. It was not a good one. So, I started doing the artifact hunt. So, when you do a New Game Plus, if you've not done that yet, well, I'm still going to spoil it because, come on now. You get the choice of skipping the main story or doing the main story. I skipped it. And when you do that, they basically tell you where all the artifacts are, except for the ones that the hunter... And what's his face have? I brain fart way too much.
Emissary.
The guy I usually side with all the time. So I got lucky this
sometimes
time.
Sometimes a girl.
Though. Yeah, sometimes a girl.
Yeah, true. Okay, I side with her. Well, actually, it's always a him with me in my game, but still. It's the same one for me.
Because you don't let your boo die.
No, she will not die. I'll go through 100 universes and she will never die. Speaking of which, I one of these artifact locations was full of a rune. And I started to feel guilty because I felt like I was killing my in-laws.
Oh, God.
That's what you're supposed to do, though.
Yeah. I had to see if they had any good guns, right? Well, and I didn't. And the funny thing is, when I was doing that one, I'm going to skip ahead a little bit, because I was doing this one. It was a cryo facility full of Arun. I went into one of the bases, and it was on a planet that had 0.06 gravity, okay? So the best gravity to have fun with. Blow everything up, make them fly everywhere. It's the best. And I went in there and I took on an elite, hoping to get one of those good, you know, epic Varun weapons that are awesome. I wouldn't even have cared if it would have been a melee one, honestly, at this point. Shot him, and I shot him in the pack, And he did the usual thing, flying around everywhere. But when you're in 0.06 gravity, it's a lot more exaggerated. And he went, hit the roof, stood there and quivered for a second, and then went through it. So I had to go outside the base, went around and looked all over for him. I am convinced he is somewhere floating in space at this point. He was nowhere.
Or he's stuck in a top ceiling.
Yeah, well, no, I checked. He was nowhere. It was on the outside, one of those outside bases with nothing between that room and space other than one roof. So he's gone. I don't know what happened. So I didn't get to loot him, unfortunately. So they do
shoot him in a pack.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was funny. They put these artifacts in random spots. When you do the story, it's in specific spots because it's based on the story. But when you do this, when you skip it, they go through random. The first one I went to was infested with pirates, which was great. It was a target-rich environment, and I had a pistol, and that's it, for a sniper. So that was entertaining. I grabbed the artifact, and I'm heading out of this base. Every living thing in this base is completely dead. There's not a soul alive. I went to fast travel, and I said I couldn't fast travel while in combat. Fine. I went outside the base. Cannot fast travel while in combat. Went crouched. I'm hidden. Cannot fast travel while in combat. Sprinted halfway to my ship that was literally parked 2 miles away, and the same thing. So I got in my ship and then took off, and I was finally able to jump somewhere. I'm thinking it had to have been a space flea that was latched onto me somewhere, biting me or something, because I have no idea. There was nothing alive that could have caused that issue.
Was this the same location where the guy got launched, or is it a
different location? This one was pirates. Your basic space trash.
Yeah, that is really, really weird.
The next planet I went to...
He's probably just wedged into something you could see.
Probably. That planet had normal gravity, but it's most likely something like that happened. He could have ran, fell through, and I don't know. The next side
you're clearing a big ship sometimes, they're like, there's a guy hidden, like, in a wall, and there's nothing you can do to get to him.
There was nothing. I guess someone somewhere was thinking about me, thinking ill towards me.
They were thinking really hard.
Yeah, very, very hard. The next set of artifacts were on the same planet in two facilities that were probably about 5 miles apart. You could see one from the other. That was the first thing that was ever happened to me. So I literally just went to one and ran to the other. And that was the planet with 0.06 gravity. And it is so much freaking fun blowing up stuff on the outside area of the bases in this gravity and seeing it go 2 or 3 miles in the air in every direction you want to go. On top of shooting the bad guys. Either if I hit him one shot, because at that point I had a Beowulf, so I was sniping with that. Sniping with iron sights is a whole lot of fun. So when you shoot them, sometimes they'll just sit there and slowly fall. Takes them about a minute to fall, hit the ground. Or they'll go flying 50 to 60 feet in the air and landing somewhere. It's very, very amusing. I highly recommend it. 10 out of 10. Do it. The next one was the Varun-controlled lab that when I ran to. And the only legendary I found was a Bowie knife off of Varun. Every new game I've ever done.
He didn't even have the right gear with him.
No.
Must have been a rookie.
They're imposters. Yeah, that's when the guilt hit. Then I realized I wasn't with Andrasia, so it was good. The second set of artifacts were, again, on the same planet. But this time they were on the other opposite sides of the planet, so I couldn't run to them. And it had 0.57 gravity, so it wasn't as fun as the last one. But I still had a blast doing it. It's fun going in there, killing everything. It's just, I enjoy that. I can't snipe right now because I don't have a sniper rifle, but it's still fun. And I kept forgetting to buy ammo constantly. So there is that. Constantly forgot. It wasn't until I started getting the powers that I remembered I had to go back when I ran out of ammo fighting a Starborn. I don't recommend that happening.
No, Starborn are not fun to fight without ammo, but you had plenty of powers. Why didn't you just keep using those?
I did. That's how I survived.
Fireball.
Fireball. Hoyuken. Yeah, I got the artifacts pretty quick. And I was really, really, really tempted to not do the great power run and just move on and go to the next universe. But then I realized I really want to see what the rank 10 powers are like. So I decided to go ahead and do the power run. That's what I'm in the middle of doing. So I have done these temples so many times that the music and the sound effects are ingrained into my head so much that I had my game muted and I forgot I was muted.
Yeah,
just hearing it.
They could have varied the temples a little bit.
That was my uneventful play right now. I'm just doing the power run. I've got some tier 6 spells now, and the first one I got was Personal Atmosphere.
Nice. My favorite exploration one.
I was so hoping the second one was going to be Sent Star stuff. That would have just been perfect. Yeah, my luck doesn't work that way.
Of course not.
Yeah, it's a miracle I got half of the artifacts all on the same planets. They were all in a line. The universe right in line. It was perfect. Should have took a screenshot.
You should have. You failed.
What have you been up to, Scott? What have you been doing, man?
Well, right now I'm doing my first non-evil pirate runs. So I'm doing is different than normal.
Non-evil pirate run. I heard that right?
Yeah, I'm UC right now. It's the first time I've ever messed around being UC. I only went to Aquila once just to see if I can find the hard target and got tricked into doing that bank heist thing because it just snagged me when I walked by. So I'm kind of mad about that. But
I've only gotten away with that once of not doing it.
But other than that, I'm just going back and doing Terramorph bug hunts and UC ship hunts and then doing the Apex Predator stuff. The only thing I have left to do other than the mission board stuff from them is the pirate quest as a good guy, which I'm trying to decide whether I'll go ahead and do that or I'll keep doing my own thing until I become jaded and then kind of become a merc for hire and eventually a pirate. But
so how do you do this? I'm confused. How do you do a non-evil pirate? That seems to be like an oxymoron.
Captain Jack Sparrow.
Well, you go in there with Sysdeath. Well, I've only done missions or playthroughs. I've started like 15 characters and I always go straight to being a pirate. So this is the first time where
I feel that
went straight to being UC and I've done everything I could not to be bad. Although to get a good ship, I had to go out of character and then take over a UC Chimera and then pretend it didn't happen just so I can have the ship.
It only cost me 650.
650,000?
Yeah, 650. And I killed like 650, period. And I killed like 25 people on the ship to get it. I take it back. I went to Aquila twice. That way I could get rid of that bounty. So.
Oh, did you guys know that you could actually do the bank heist without doing the bank heist? If you don't talk to the main guy, the sheriff, and you just go around the back door and take everyone out, you should try it. It's very amusing what happens.
I'll have to.
You got to have your lockpick up to get into it without it.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be on a second playthrough or something then?
Most likely.
Or one where I'm not starting at with the free start.
Or skip it for a while. Get up to, like, I think you need rank 2, maybe 3. I don't know if it's an advanced.
3 is master.
I just got rank 2.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, because 4 is one I've never gotten because it's useless.
I stopped. I unlocked it once, and that was my first character on Rook. Otherwise, I haven't unlocked.
When I did that challenge character with my pirate, Edward Teach, doing heavy weapons and stuff like that, that's when I did it. And I just want to see what would happen. Do it.
And the worst thing about this playthrough is one of the first legendary items I got was legendary pirate suit. So I keep that in my ship and don't sell it just for when it's my time.
You know you're going to be switching.
I always, every playthrough, every character I've done, on my main even, every new game plus, I always get a melee legendary first. Every single time.
So once I give them to you quickly, I want to try what some of the listeners said and jump to one of the higher level planets with a gear lot of run. Ammo.
Let's go do a gear run, yeah. That's a good call. I should probably do that. I'm just trying to skip.
That's how I got all my heavy gear early. Save scumming and elites.
I've done that a few times, but my luck is so bad that I killed one, I think I talked about in the air once, like 30 or 40 times and pretty much got nothing. A couple blues, much. An epic, no legendaries. And it was a level 96 elite.
I get so fixated on what I want. I get all these great legendary items and I reload because it's not what I wanted. So I'll just keep doing it for hours at a time.
Yeah, I don't have that kind of patience. More props to you for doing that. I've considered doing it to get a hard target.
It's not a healthy habit.
Yeah, because I remember
the first weapons I got in one of my pictures.
I remember saying some of our listeners, or was it Archon that said once you got a hard legendary hard target from doing that, going to one of the level 75 systems and farming a level 90 plus elite until they got it. I don't know if I had the patience to actually do that, though.
That would take a while. And I don't mean just a little while. I mean a long while.
And speaking of hard targets, Budsky, go to hell. He posted a picture on our Discord of his hard target collection. And he had at least 10 or 11 of them up there. I think you said he found like one or two legendaries so far.
You're sitting here trying to find one and he's got 10.
I normally run around my places with a blue one that I have to go find that vendor for. I have never seen an epic one.
His hard targets look like my toilet paper collection during COVID.
or my toilet paper collection currently in the game.
Oh yeah, right.
That's creepy.
Yeah, TP Bandit still exists.
That's funny. You and like your TP Bandit.
Full. I think I have like 40 or 50 rolls currently in my ship, and I just started this new playthrough, this new game plus.
Wow.
Hey, one of the bad things
about outer space causes anal leakage.
Yeah, you never know when you need it. You need one bad thing from one alien stream, and suddenly you're going to need them.
Yeah, true.
There's only one stream, though, so you got to find that planet.
Yeah, that is the bad thing about the planets is they don't have different
water sources.
It's either, except for that one planet that was found, it's oceans or nothing.
There's a couple little lakes.
Well, there's some swamp ones that have like ponds and stuff that are connected.
Yeah, there is that. And if you go to that resort, what's it called?
Paradiso.
They have a lake outside that.
Yeah, but I want rivers, waterfalls.
Word.
The Gucci stuff.
The Gucci stuff.
Hey, that's not what I wanted to say, but I had to be PG-13.
I wanted my Serenity spot. Anything else?
Just doing the normal stuff, trying to get my level up. I think I'm like level 37 now. Just did Operation Starseed, and for the first time, I spared Franklin, and I got a bug, and everyone, including him, tried to kill me.
Oh, that's
so. I had to jump out and rest for 50 hours and come back, and then they forgave me.
50 hours of sleep.
So easy. Clothes don't have a very long memory, so that's good.
Apparently not. Jeez, I remember that one time when I had to UC and the Freestar Belt after me constantly for some weird reason. I wonder if I just would have waited instead of reloading back several saves to find the right spot.
I didn't do
that. Well, that's the pirate life. If you're doing it right, you got the UC and the Freestar after you at all times. I think I had like $1 million bounty on both of them.
Dang, that's a lot higher than mine. I had a 30,000 bounty and had the hunters come. The hunter himself came after me.
Holy crap.
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. I'm like, why? So I don't remember what happened. Somehow I engaged a target, I'm not sure, and got the UC pissed off at me. I went to Aquila, but on the way there, I got them mad at me. Oh, yeah, I remember what I was doing. I was in the middle of a fight, and the ship flew right in front of my
fire arc. Happens all the dang time.
Yeah, and so I got a...
It's like ambulance chasers.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Got a 600 credit bounty, so I went to UC, and I went to Jemison to try to clear it. But somehow, when I got there, it triggered a 30,000 credit bounty. So, what I did was I wanted to try an experiment, because I know you can jump the wall before you get to the area that's supposedly supposed to scan you for bounties. So, I jumped the wall and went over to the thing, but as soon as I got off my ship, they started shooting at me. So, I quickly cleared my Aquila bounty and then flew to Aquila. When I got to Aquila and I got off the ship, went down the... past the... what's that area? The trade kiosk?
Yeah.
Went down, and right before I got underneath that overhang where it says, welcome to Aquila City, all of a sudden, everybody's running back at me, turning around and running back in with guns. Hmm. So there was a firefight with the hunters because they were coming after me. There was a firefight. Nah, but it's crazy because it was the hunter who was attacking. He had used his ability where you can duplicate yourself. And I took out the duplicate pretty quick. And then I was fighting a hunter. And I was actually, I said this a couple episodes ago, I was fighting really well, like a soldier, hiding behind cover, coming out, offloading on him. And somehow, right before he died, he vanished. I was like, okay. Sure. But that was the most craziest thing I've had in this game is where, with a 30,000 credit bounty, the hunter attacked me. While at Aquila.
Yeah, you can't kill him before the end. They won't let you.
No, they won't let you. And I get that. But I was expecting, like, maybe bounty hunters or something. Not the hunter himself.
Right. Little extreme, but, dude.
Let's go to my playthrough, shall we?
Yeah, let's bring it on.
So, as everybody has known, for the past 3 weeks, I've been playing my bounty hunter and doing the Crimson Fleet.
About time. We all agree on that statement.
All right, so last week I did Trident. This week I finished up the stealing of the UC comm spike.
Okay, I got to stop you there. Did you see the other stuff I was talking about?
What other stuff?
It's been a week. Projects that are inside that spot where you steal that comms box?
Oh, reading it? Yeah, and I tried trying to go down to the elevators to the other floors, and it won't let you.
Dang, that'd be so cool.
I know. There was some stuff in there that I was like, ooh, I would like that on my ship. Better fuel economy and all that. But I went to each elevator, went to the other floors, and it says access denied. Even though, if you look at the panel, when it scans it, it says approved.
Yeah. That's what threw me off, thinking maybe it's possible.
Rook, how are you doing to Crimson Fleet? Like, are you a good guy doing to Crimson Fleet, or did you get arrested and then?
No, I actually, with the bounty hunter, she went up and just triggered it because she's actually a member of the Vanguard. Rook, who's actually has the quest, got arrested to start it.
So you're a snitch in this playthrough then?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's she's my first one.
She's all about herself. Whatever will get her the most credits and keep her alive longer.
I was going to say, the most credits, you would have joined the Crimson Fleet.
Having a UC military backing you, I think is a...
part, yeah, I can understand that part, yeah. Plus, instead of them hunting you every second.
UC offers the best bounties.
Can you even do the mission boards, the pirate mission boards when you're UC?
I have with her, I have done a few of the tracker... I actually specifically look for the tracker missions for her. It's actually, I've done a lot of them. I do wish some of the missions were actually more in depth at trying to find and track somebody down instead of here's their location, go kill them. But back to the Crimson Fleet. So I stole the stuff. I went and looked at the projects, realized I couldn't take any of them, which was just depressing. And then I went and found all of the articles on all of the slates on the Legacy.
Hold up. I got to keep interfering here because I've been waiting for you to do this for 6 months. I want details. So you got the comm spike. How? What way did you do it?
Oh, I convinced the doctor to let me be his test pilot.
Okay, that's usually the route I go. There's other routes you can go, though.
I haven't. I was thinking about trying some of the other routes, but I was like, I'm actually on a roll with my persuasion successes.
So you just did
change.
All the persuasion, put on the uniform and all that, and kind of the sneaky way of going through it? Yeah.
Made the guys think that I was his twin and confusing him, doing the old, no, you look like him. No, you look like him.
Nice. So, okay, we can continue now.
I did that. Then I sold the ship, and without attacking anybody, I just hauled butt and jumped. As quickly as I could plot a course, I jumped. I dropped all my weapons and dropped my shields to where I could take a couple of hits and just spiked up my grav drive so it would instantly charge and get me. So I went back. I built up my ship. But before I left, I did get the device you can only get from the Crimson Fleet that blocks scans. I bought that and put it on my ship before I betrayed the Crimson Fleet.
Yeah, go in there. They have a bunch of goodies. Like, oh, can you?
Yep.
You can get the comm spike and everything?
No, you can just get the scan blocker.
That would make sense.
The spike, though, is worth it.
Yeah, I'm running around with the spike.
The shielded cargo you can get there, it's something that I would always recommend getting before you know.
Well, I get shielded cargo everywhere.
Yeah, but they got some good ones there. Good price.
Good price. Yeah, I won't argue. But my bounty hunter doesn't really do the exploration or need the big cargo. She's literally flying a wannabe F-14. So,
of course.
So she's built up the ship. Put those devices you're supposed to have, the comm spike, the other device that helps you locate. No, not the other device that helps you locate. That's comm spike. The EM shielding. And that was a trip learning about that. Learning about how the power for Neon is done was awesome. And then, and that one, not this playthrough at all. My bounty hunter did not kill a single person.
That's normally how I do it.
She did trade data that might cause the death of another person, but she don't care about that because she killed Ron Hope.
Oh, okay. No, I've always wanted to do that.
And the SSN, the SS News Network, yeah, they had an article about it and about how the future, because right after I had done all this, I was walking through the key and the news network.
If you
started.
Do those major story events like that, either doing the any of the faction quest lines, a lot of things that you do will be reported on the news network. A lot of people don't know that. But if you go through, even Aquila, there's a spot where you can listen to the radio and hear it.
Yeah, but it's right up by the rock.
Yeah.
So that was awesome hearing about that while I was sitting there like, I did that. Then went and talked to Delgado, got all this stuff together, went out to the Legacy as they prepped to fight the UC. And hearing the story of the Legacy, man, that was heartbreaking.
See what I mean by how that quest line is probably one of the more in-depth quest lines of anything in the game?
The best.
Yeah. If you actually catch all of the Legacy slates, that tells you there's like 13 of them. If you get them all.
Even the story, like the whole baseline story of the guy who started the Crimson Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
With the lock and key and everything like that, that gets into a lot of detail. You have to look for it, but it's there.
Yeah.
And you get the full outline of it. It's really, really cool.
If you find all 13 slates, you get the whole story of what happened to the Legacy. It's really sad. I really want to talk about what actually happened. But I don't know how many people actually played the Crimson Fleet or if
you
I was
what?
The last
Honestly,
holdout.
It's fine.
A year later.
It's yeah, we're going almost a year, so it's free game
yeah.
right now, man.
Well, 6 months, but yeah.
It's plenty of time.
There's plenty of people who've done this. So while you're on the Legacy, you find out that they were attacked by somebody and got heavily damaged, and they wind up in this system, and they keep moving because they can't stop their ship, and they get into this EM field around this planet. And because nobody can come rescue them, or nobody knows where they are, they starve to death on that ship, one by one. Or one goes crazy, the rest starve to death one by one. And
you find the two people that were laying in bed next to each other?
Mm-hmm.
That story was sad.
Yeah, but I hated it. But watching, went through... hearing that story, because I would play it and come out of my notes and keep exploring while they're talking. And then I came across Pricks and his logs. And he found his legacy. He didn't survive to use it, but he found it.
Yep, he found it.
That
all the way up until the point of trying to get into the vault.
I tried opening his ship's hatch and it said it's too damaged, structural damage present.
Oh, I tried that right off the bat. Of course. Even with the whole ship collapsing around me, I gotta try it.
Yeah.
I tried opening as many of those credit vaults as I could.
So that's where I failed. I didn't open. I opened the first one, and that was the only one I opened. But I did go and take the, get the money. And as soon as they wire the shielding from the vault to the ship's shields is the reason why the ship's not falling apart as it was. So I went and did all that, ran all the way back nonstop to my ship. I did like how it felt like I was having to rush through an exploding ship.
Yeah, very much so.
It didn't feel like a video game with the ship blowing up behind me.
The first time I did that, I had 6 med packs and like was already like completely radioactive, so I barely had any health I could heal myself back to.
Yeah, that was me too on my first time through there. The second time I did it, and third time and fourth, I had plenty of stuff to survive it.
My bounty hunter's running because she is in a lot of firefights. She stocked up on med packs. She has like
equipped
100 of them. So she ran through, got to her ship, and took off. Poor Crix, though. He could have been rescued, but he got betrayed by his second in command. What y'all think about that one?
Yeah.
Man, I was actually, honestly, when I was looking out and I realized he was there, I was like, he got betrayed, I bet.
What do you think about that final battle, though?
So, I went and obviously sided with the UC, but I didn't get all the evidence for the UC. Mm. There was a couple of things I missed, so I didn't
That's
have...
That's a pretty payday right there, too.
Yeah, I didn't have a lot of ships fighting with me. Luckily, I have 2 sets of particle beam weapons geared up on my ship, and I was taking out everything I was coming across, so it was like, all right, this could have been a little bit more challenging.
I hated taking out those cannons, though, on very hard.
Dude, I'm only playing on very hard, and its cannons were the easiest things I took out.
Well, the times I've done it, I didn't exactly have the best ship in the world. I actually tried doing it once with a Frontier. Try that if you want a hard mode.
I'm in an equipped ship, all right?
I did it with the Frontier, but my weapons were juiced up pretty hard.
No, I was completely fresh. I think I put a better shield on it and a new power plant. That was it.
All I did was I hit boost, and because I have piloting, I use my thrusters to aim at it. So as I'm boosting across, I'm sitting here shooting it while it's trying to track me. The thing blew up, no problem.
The one time I had a super easy time with it is when I did it later in the game, and I already had built my like complete BA battleship. Mm-hmm. That was cakewalk after that.
Now I want to go, and so I haven't done any storylines with Kaelin yet because he is just exploring his backstories. He doesn't want to get involved in any politics anymore. So, but I do want to take my battleship. I'm trying to save the money to build with him and go do this mission because okay. He strikes me as somebody that would actually go pirate route.
So now that you've done this, did you save the I don't call him the banker.
The bomb in the chest, dude?
Yeah.
Yep. Him and Delgado are both alive.
I've done it multiple different ways. I've sided with the Crimson Fleet and fought the UC and wiped out everybody in the UC ship. That was strangely, weirdly satisfying. But I've done it a few ways where I sided with the UC, but everyone died on the Crimson. Not near as satisfying. And then I saved everybody once. And that was very interesting.
I didn't know you could save him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So you have to save Delgado to save him. Problem I had was that after all was said and done, after I wiped out the Crimson Fleet, I was not impressed with the rush of the story. That story should have taken longer. But it's the same argument I have with all three primary faction quests. Is the quest should have been longer. Delgado was talking about how I'm taking after him and I picked up some things from him, but it's like I interacted with you like four times. They could have done longer on that story, so I actually felt like I was
longest one of the faction quests.
It is, but for the way Delgado was talking, it wasn't long enough. I didn't interact with Delgado enough.
Okay, I get that.
It should have been one of those where you're sitting here and you're working with Delgado and like you got three missions where you're working with Delgado. Then you got to go off and do some other missions. And Delgado has some more missions for you to do. It was just too fast.
What do you think about his second command splitting?
I'm not surprised. She knew a doomed dog when she met it.
See, that's where I had my predictions. And I actually put her as in my prediction for Shattered Space. Because
it's possible.
She's alive either way you go. If you side UC or you side Crimson Fleet, either way, she's alive.
Mm-hmm. But it makes you wonder what she's doing. Maybe they add some more side quests. Maybe there's a special mission bounty board that you have to find later.
It may not be this current expansion, but a future one where they focus solely on Crimson Fleet, like the rebirth of Crimson Fleet or something like that.
Possibly. Or it could be just one of those mission board missions where you actually have to go track her down. That wouldn't be too bad either.
That would almost feel like a letdown after everything, though.
It was a letdown for me. The ending of this quest was a letdown. The UC conversation was great, but the letdown with talking to Delgado, I expected to be more emotionally involved, but because of the way the story is and how fast-paced everything is, I didn't really get that chance to be emotionally tied. Now, during the entire Freestar Collective questline, I got emotionally invested with the guy because he's constantly talking to you, or you find slates where he's talking to his guys over and over. I was emotionally invested in finding Crix's body and saw he got betrayed
I don't know if I did things differently or not, but I actually enjoyed that whole thing. I didn't feel that disconnect.
I felt disconnected
when you're doing the Crimson Fleet as the UC. You get a different ending when you're obviously the pirates, and it feels a lot more like a true homecoming. It's like a huge celebration when everything's done. It's that one played on that side is the best quest line in the game.
Yeah, that was the most satisfying ending I had during doing that whole thing.
Now, this way I finished the game right now is my second favorite quest in the entire game. It's not going to beat Freestar.
Yeah.
That Freestar questline, I want to run through it now with my soldier to see how that changes. And I could see him going and siding with the Crimson Fleet because of his backstory and tired of all the political shit. But yeah, that was my playthrough. I actually did enjoy the Crimson Fleet at the beginning and halfway through it, doing all the stealth stuff. That is what I wanted more of, but longer.
Fair enough.
What did you do with Mathis?
Mathis. I disgraced him.
You lost out on a great companion, but I don't even know if you could have him as a companion once you were on the UC side, though.
Yeah, don't think you can.
I also praised the captain of the ship. What's her name? That gets you onto the UC base. Even though she's probably... Swan. Yeah. Even though she's probably going to lose that contract to deliver there, because after she delivered there, that prototype ship got stolen.
Just a coincidence.
Yeah, a minor one. So, around Discord, I'm going to bring up a couple little things pretty quick before we end the episode tonight. Mossy found out, after he accidentally found himself in the Unity, which I don't know how... Well, I know how he accidentally did it. He explained it. He was panicking, but thankfully... What?
He slipped.
He slipped and fell into it. Thankfully, our listeners came to his aid and told him something that I didn't know because I never tried it. That you can just turn around and walk right back out and go back to the universe you were just in.
So here's what's funny about that. You say you didn't know this. Yourself sits there and tells you if you do not want to go through, turn around and walk away.
Yeah, it shows you how much I pay attention to myself.
So what does that mean? If you get the alternate reality where you can recruit yourself, you're just not going to pay attention to yourself?
I don't know. We'll find out if I ever get it.
In our Discord, we actually brought up this question. I think it was the illness that brought it up, about how both the hunter and the preacher guy on...
Oh, yeah, that parallel.
Yeah, that parallel. Was Butsky. Yeah, it might have been Butsky. How he was asking, how can they coexist? I was like, dude, there's an alternate one where you can recruit yourself as your companion on your ship. And there's another one where there's a ton of you.
But it makes sense, though, his question, because when you go normally on, you go to the New Game Plus, you take over your old self.
Mm-hmm.
So logically, you would think that, yeah, he would take the place, but he doesn't.
Well, see, you don't really take over your old self. True. Your old self had something happen to him. And people are surprised to see you, and they explained what happened to your old self. Rook, when he went through to Unity, he was sat there, and Rook in that universe never made it out of, what was it, the mine location? So yeah, okay. They actually explained something. It's a simple explanation as to why everybody's surprised to see you.
Yeah, I know that Vasco identifies you and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Vasco identifies everybody.
Yeah.
With a thumbs up now, if you want to.
Apparently.
I haven't even messed with Vasco, Sarah, anybody this play around either. I'm constellation free, so my wife doesn't yell at me for marrying Sarah again.
Yeah, I don't have that issue. So, Andrasia? Yep. Because the only thing about the last playthrough I did is I didn't stay in there long enough to marry Andrasia again. So I had to say goodbye to her as just good friends.
I've still not married her. She just annoys the hell out of me, which is goes against everything that you love. But
well, I want to thank Scott for his first and last time on this show.
Budsky finally found that platform, man.
He did. The one that I still haven't found.
The bug base. Now people are learning why we call it the bug base.
I came
across that when I was low level, barely any health med packs. And barely any ammo, and I managed to survive because I had a ton of food.
I haven't been there myself yet, and I think you can find high-level ones. They mentioned that it'd be cool if they could find it on a high level, but these have a chance of spawning on any cold or ice planet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are several of those that are high-level. So there's a chance I think you could find it at high levels.
That would be interesting.
And he found it on Europa, which is more low-level.
Is this the one with all the plants that you're talking about?
No, it's the one where if you go onto the, it's an old abandoned...
Looks like an oil rig.
Oil rig, and you go on there and there's a bunch of swarm creatures and then the big mother ones.
Yeah, I've heard like up to 100 different bugs in there at one point.
It can get up pretty high.
I'm not sure if I've seen anything.
Yeah, that one, it was fun the second time I went through and could actually survive, but it was nerve-wracking the first time I hit that on a low-level character.
I still need to find it. I've seen videos of it. Like, you can literally see the 10 mandibles of the bugs through the door before you even get into it. You open it, and it's like a tidal wave of giant bugs coming at you.
Oh, yeah.
One of these days, I will find it.
One of these.
And I'm going to make sure that when I do, I have a minigun on me.
You'll have a pistol, an Eon with under 100 ammo.
Yeah, that's probably
that'll correct. Be his luck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be good. I won't get lucky enough to do that unless I purposely spend a whole lot of time looking for it. And even when I do find the perfect, you know, alien or bug killing minigun, it suddenly bugs out and becomes a white on me. So that's about right. All right, guys, that's going to wrap up this episode. Any last thoughts, Scott?
Oh, no, not really. Just it's fun playing the same game over and over and over again and restarting and chatting up with you guys all the time about it.
That's always fun.
And
rolling around 2 powers only and probably not going to get the rest of them for another 30 or 40 hours.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I can't wait to get mine to level 10 and actually test out how powerful they are. And there's a clear difference, especially when you get to tier 5. There's a clear difference in some of them. Eventually I will. I'm going to be doing this jump through the Unity until I get a different universe.
Yeah, I've still not got anything different at all.
Yeah, me neither. Only Rook and Archon have so far, punks. And they haven't even gotten the real interesting ones.
True.
And Illnist, a.k.a. Scott here, is one of our members on Discord. If you guys want the best way to reach out to like-minded individuals, nerdy, Starfield, whatever you want to talk about, come to our Discord. You can even reach us there pretty easily. And that's discord.gg/rawpodcasts.gg, as in Greg Greg. Or George, and podcast
golf,
is plural.
Golf.
Yeah, that one works too. If you want to email us for business or just to reach out to us for anything, starfieldraw@gmail.com, best way to do that. We are on Instagram.
Raw Podcast 1.
We are on Twitter, and that is @podcastraw. Got to flip that around there because it was different. And we are on Facebook.
Yes, our Facebook is Raw Podcast.
Going with our general podcasting group name for a lot of our social media.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm sorry. And for this show, we also have @StarfieldRaw on Twitter, by the way. That one is separate. You can follow me on everything, Twitter, gaming platforms, @TheWidget, except for Instagram, where I'm AuthorWidget.
You can follow me, as usual, almost everywhere as Tomcat213. Steam and Twitter, a.k.a. X, is Rook213.
And Scott, do you want to shout out anything, or are you good?
I'm good.
All right.
Low-key.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next time.
Y'all stay safe out there, y'all. So there's an update out there that they made the, what's it called? Ship component, the brig useful.
Like an actual update or a mod?
A mod. I mean.
Yeah, I can't do that stuff.
Yeah, I don't do mods that much myself. I mean, if they had the creation club, then maybe, because it'd be easier. But the way you got to go about right now to install them, it's like, eh.
Yeah, definitely it'd be cool to have those brigs on your ship and. Do like mission boards where you capture them and bring them in.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go around taunting them.
Yeah. Yeah. But then it would make it having the bounty hunter background trait useful in more ways. I would like to see that more personally.
Yeah, I'm almost always bounty hunter or space scoundrel, but I picked soldier this time to see what it would do.
Yeah, I actually picked soldier on my new explorer, and I'm going to actually take them through the free star and see how that story goes with a soldier background.
Yeah, I'm sure Paxton will like you.
Yeah, I just want to see what kind of conversations change.